Guys, thank you for having us, the whole of Oudtshoorn, obviously all of the guys who are hosting us, but just even this morning. And I'm going to answer a question that was asked to me before we got here, or before we came. So we've been like hoping that this will happen for quite a while, and things started falling into place. And Thursday morning before we left, my wife came to me and she was like, "Why are we going? Are we going to serve?" I was like, "No, we're just going to go visit them." And like Davi shared earlier, in Cape Town, it's easy for the guys. Like, you guys have a gathering coming up. You only have to drive an hour. We're driving an hour and a half. So, like, you guys are really close. So, for us, the nearest other Josh Jen is an hour and a half's drive. So, we don't necessarily do that on a Sunday morning. So when we do go and visit, we just do it for the whole weekend. And that's it. It's just to visit family. It's to be. And obviously, we can't get to everyone and care with everyone necessarily. But being together on a Sunday morning is beautiful. And seeing what God is doing here. And we can go back to Kimberley and go and encourage the guys there. Guys, next time you have to go. You have to go and see what the Lord is busy with in Oudtshoorn or in any other place. Sorry, I'm skipping a little bit over the whole introducing myself because of what they did this morning. You know, I'm married to Lisa. My wife is out with the kids. One of the kids. The other one is here. We both were taught to become teachers, and we did become teachers. And I do know that I loved being a teacher. Not because of the head knowledge, but because of the interaction with the children. And God gave me a passion to work with the children and to set an example of what it looks like to be a godly teacher. He humbled me a few times, because if you call yourself a godly, whatever your occupation is, it means that you say sorry sometimes because you do it wrong. And I got it wrong a few times, where I will lose my temper with a class. And then God goes, "You didn't show them God." And then I had to go back. And then you apologize to a classroom full of grade 8s or 9s or matriculants or whatever the case might be. So any teachers out here, sorry guys, it's just the truth. And then God decided that it's a good thing that we will lose that as well, but leave behind teaching and step into full-time ministry. If he uses us in full-time for the rest of our lives, that's a privilege. If he doesn't, we'll still serve him until we die. And here we are today, loving God, loving his church, loving his people. That's why we're here. That's why we drove to Oudtshoorn, is to be and love. And also be loved, because we have been loved over the weekend. So, the heart behind today's message, I love teaching, I love maths, and there'll be some mathematics this morning. We'll be basic, okay, I'll keep it simple. I'm not qualified in mathematics, just as a mathematical teacher, okay, there's a difference. You're qualified in mathematics. So just stick with me, please. I know we've got some language people among us and some arts people among us. I'm married to one, and so math doesn't always come naturally, or it's not always your first option, but I'm really going to keep it very basic this morning. And I hope that the message encourages us and shows us that our lives only count because he makes it count. He is the one that, what did I say here? I said, to realize and understand that he is the one who gives our lives meaning. Okay, without him, our lives are meaningless. And that's the hope, my prayer this morning for the message that I want to share. So, you can put up that first slide for us. That's the mass we're going to look at today is zero. Not zero mass, but just the number is zero. just to clarify that everyone's on the same page here, so zero has no meaning. Zero has no value. It's not only a digit, it's not only a place number, but it's actually a value in itself. But the value is nothing. Okay. So that, was that basic enough? Was that okay? So can we go to that next slide? I think everyone will be okay with this definition. Like zero equals to nothing. Okay, so whenever zero is used this morning, that we realize that the property of zero is nothing. Funny enough, it is seen as a number in mathematics because it has an identity, an additive identity. But this identity means that if I add zero to anything, the number doesn't change. Like, okay. So basic zero equals to nothing. All right. You can put on slide three for us. That's just the number zero. So if I want to give zero a value, what do I do? Anyone wants to? I have to add another number to that. Or I can subtract a number from zero. But the reality is, if I just place another zero next to it, it still has no value. Okay. That becomes actually mathematical, like completely incorrect now. Like, we don't write like that. We just have a bunch of zeros. It's not on the next slide. Don't go there yet. So if I do put another zero next to that, those two, it still means nothing, right? And I can just put a bunch of zeros next to it. It still means nothing. So I actually have to place something of value next to the zero. So slide number five there, please. So if I place a one next to the zero, not only does the zero become something, that's now a whole new number. It has a new meaning. It has a new value. If I ask you, what do you want? Do you want 0 rand or 10 rand? Obvious answer, okay. I hope. So, how do I enlarge, make this number even bigger? So I've got options now. Okay. So I can either change the zero. I think this is my... Yeah, you can go to slide six here for us, please. So I can either change the zero to a 9. All right. That's a bigger number than 10. Or the other option is slide 7. I can just put another 0 next to it. Which one is bigger? It's a hypothetical question, okay. Everyone knows 100 is bigger than 19. But I've placed, and I'm saying placed because I didn't add a 0, just like it's mathematically incorrect. I've placed another 0 next to the 0. So now I've got two nothings with a 1. And the value of that number is more significant than just changing the 0 to a 9. Does the maths make sense here, guys? I need everyone to be on the same page here. Or for the golf guys, I need everyone to be on par. Okay. Thanks, Davy. I know you. We'd appreciate that one. So 100 is bigger than 19. And here's the thing, guys. As we sit and stand here this morning, we are the zeros. We are the nothings. And God is our number one. He's the one that gives us not just meaning, He gives value to our lives. He gives us purpose. He makes us more than we could ever dream of being. Even if I change myself to the highest possible value that the digit can be, which is a 9. I'm a 0. Even if I try and be a 9, if I put God next to me and I'm a 0, I'm more. The 10 is more than 9. So, slide 9. God is everything. He gives us meaning. He gives us value. And without God, if we remove that one again, we're zero again. We're nothing. Meaningless. We're a placeholder at the end of the day. I'm ending off with the math lesson here. But even if we have God, such a morning like this, we've got God as the one, and we now start coming together, slide 11. Oh, sorry. Yeah, there we go. So we've got God and a bunch of us coming together. Infinite. Infinite. Okay, so for those guys who were following the math lesson, even if you change all of those zeros to a 9, would still be smaller than just adding another nothing to the end of that line. What I'm trying to say here is, even if, no matter how you feel this morning, maybe you feel insignificant. I've been there many times. Many, many times. I'll still be there again and again and again. But I have to know and I have to secure my faith in, even if I'm insignificant, if I mean nothing, if I come together with a bunch of nothings that has God as their number one, we will be more than I could ever be alone. So this morning, us coming together and going like, Lord, we don't have it all together. We don't always know what we're doing. If we got you as our number one, we have so much more than we can ever dream of, than we can ever comprehend. So God should be our number one. That's the end of the slides. Thanks. You can go over to the scriptures. So obviously that's a cute maths lesson, but we're not here to do maths, right? We're here to talk about God. We're here to talk about His Word. So I need to make sure that what I just said is biblical. One of the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Guys, you can try and change yourself. You can try and be the best, in my case, the best teacher. Dovi shared the fact that I found my dream job. I applied, and I got my dream job. Without even asking for it, God gave it to me. And I could be the best maths teacher, department head, and probably would have been able to work my way up in this school. But man, if I did it without God, it meant nothing. And then the day He asked me to resign, I resigned. Because having a job is purely an income so that I can survive. Because I'm not living to become the best teacher. I'm living to be obedient and being faithful son in the house of the Lord. That's why I'm living. That's why I'm here. So, if I can try and take the zero that I am, and I can try and replace it with a few examples for us so that everyone can relate. You can replace it with your occupation, and many people do. No, I just want to be the best teacher. You don't get it. I need to spend extra time there. See, and then neglect the gathering of the saints. Neglect a Sunday morning, a leaders' meeting, a worship time in the week, a youth evening. No, but I need to have family time on a Friday night, so I can't send my youths to my teenagers to youth. You can have your family time Saturday morning, Thursday evening, Saturday evening. Send your teenagers to youth. You guys got a cooking youth anyway, so I don't have to share on that. But your family can also be that replacement. Do you put your family before God? You're not supposed to. God should be first. Your hobby? Anything from golf to cycling, jogging, whatever your hobby is. Flying airplanes, I don't know what you guys do. Your finances. Are you so fixated on your finances, your budget, your income and expenses, or just the fact that you must have a lot of it, that you put that above God? No, I can't contribute. I can't give towards an outreach. Or I can't give towards those in need, Ikala Temba. Because, oh, what if my family don't? Your family will be looked after. That's why we're here together. That's the beauty of church. Your status, your addictions. What do you put in front of God? Because God should be number one. And are you replacing your nothingness with any of those? There are probably more stuff that you can put in there. So you're trying to be something that God didn't create you to be. Psalm 57 verse 2 says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He gives us a purpose because He has a purpose. He is the one who gives me purpose. Without Him, I have no purpose. I can have a dream. I can have passions. I can have talents. And we all do. God gives all of that as well. But without Him, those dreams and passions and skills and talents are pretty useless. I can build up my own fame, my fortune. But it means nothing if I'm doing it without Him. Because He's the one that gives me purpose. So, a question for you guys maybe to discuss in communities or just in life is, do you know that God has a purpose for your life? That's why He created you. He created you so that you can walk out the purpose that He has for you, not your own purpose, not your own dreams. Has God ever asked you to lay down a dream? And did you do it? My wife is an example. She loves ballet, loves it. God asked her to lay down. She did ballet for 12 years or something. And God came, will you lay it down for me? She didn't at first. And God kept on asking. He doesn't push anything on us. And she realized she needs to lay it down. And she laid it down. And 9 years later, start of this year, He said, all right, He can pick it up again. He can start doing ballet again. Because ballet stopped replacing me. Mine was teaching. So do you know God has a purpose for your life, and your dreams and your talents and your gifts means nothing without His purpose? So Ephesians 5 verse 23, again, God being our number one. Our number one, not just mine, not just yours, not just the leaders, not just for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body. So us as a bunch of zeros, we are His, because He is the head of His body, of which He is the Savior. Now, again, church is a whole nother topic, maybe not to be discussed right now, but you get added to a family when you get saved. God doesn't save you and leave you on the sidewalk. That's the opposite of what God does. He finds you on the sidewalk and He says, come into my family. Come into my, not even just come into my house, come into my kingdom. Because all of a sudden you become an heir of God, who's a king. So you become a prince and a princess. You become part of a family, and we see it physically in church. So spiritually, you get adopted. Physically, we see it as God adds you to the local congregation, in which your case, it's Joshua and Otwering. And if you're here as a visitor this morning and you're in another church, we're not saying God only adds you to Josh Chin, but God does add you to a church. He wants you to be part of a church, a healthy church, just in side note. And you belong there, or yeah, you belong to be part of his family. And as you are, as some of you might be becoming part of the family here, some of you are already part. As I walked in here this morning, the chairs were being carried out and this setup was done already. Everyone who served this morning, all the way from packing the chairs, making the coffee, and at the end of the day, all I'm doing here is serving. No matter what role we are serving, I'm just a placeholder. Just a placeholder for God to come and give value to what I'm doing. You sitting on that chair, someone packed it out this morning. The value of them packing out the chair is the fact that you can sit there and listen to the message, and hopefully, prayerfully, God is doing something in your heart. You can forget the message, you can forget my face, but oh man, don't let you walk out of here unchanged. Not meeting with God, not hearing from Him. Because then everything was in vain. So make sure you are playing your role where you belong. If this is where you belong, you've got a role to play, to fulfill, to make sure that God's kingdom is advancing on earth in Otsuring and beyond. So bring your gift and serve His church. The gathering is coming up. I'm sure there will be a chance to serve there as well. So put up your hand. Go like, guys, is there some way I can go and serve at the gathering? Because we're just a bigger family at the end of the day. You can serve across the mountain. All of my accomplishments, if you've got a degree or a master's or a doctoral, that doesn't matter to God if you're not using it for Him. And even if you're using it for Him, He sees you. He doesn't see your degree. He doesn't see your matric end results when He looks at you. He doesn't see your status. He doesn't see the car that you're driving. He sees the individual that has a relationship with Him. The one who loves Him so much that he will give up everything and say, yes, Lord, use me. However, and that use me might be lead my congregation in worship. That lead me might be being part of a community group and making the coffee for the people in the community group. You know that you can be making coffee in someone else's house, right? You are allowed to do that. It doesn't need to be on the host to be making the coffee. Just hang it out. Come, leaders, you can thank me later. Corinthians 3 verse 5. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Guys, and an easy example here to use are usually your leaders. Leaders, they didn't do it for themselves. They do it for the sake of His church. But I wanna highlight someone else this morning is the children of your leaders. And we've gotten to know a little bit your kids and how they serve. Your youngest giving up their Saturday morning to go through to Mossel George for the kids in Darba. Teenager giving up their Saturday morning because I want to make sure that I'm equipped enough to serve on Kids Church. Middle one, yeah, I'll be at worship. I'll be at worship every weekend if I have to be. The eldest, oh, someone needs to be driven down to Cape Town. Yeah, I'll give up my weekend. Part of us coming here on this weekend was so that Michael could be here as well, so that we can see him. He's not here. But that doesn't matter, because he's serving Christ. He gave up his weekend to drive the, and then not only did it stop there, then they asked him to be part of the band there at the youth equip down in Cape Town, and he ended up not playing again. Or did he play? Swellendam. Like back here again. Because he lives his life for Christ. And what he has means nothing to him. Those are the children of your leaders. So are you setting the example for your children and the children around you? So that they may know that they have nothing, they are nothing. But with God, their value will exceed everything. And James 4 verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Are you willing to humble your lives to such an extent that God will look down on you and he will extend his grace onto your life? Or will you pick up your accomplishments and what you've done and who you are? I hope not. Because then God will oppose you. That's what the scripture says. I want to be opposed by God. And by no means am I standing here today and I'm saying I get it right all the time. I know that pride has crept into my heart sometimes. I've seen it. I've done it. It's not a nice thing. My prayer is that I will be humble. Not just so that God will extend his grace to me, but so that those around me, referring to my family first and foremost, that they will see that I'm humble, so that they can live in that example. One or two more scriptures. John 15 verse 5. So John 15, many Christians know this scripture of the vine and the branches. And Jesus is the vine and we're only the branches. And again, I need to draw the connection back to he is the one that gives us meaning. The vine is useless. The branch is useless without the vine. You get it? All right? The vine will exist. But if you take the branch off the vine, the scripture says it will be thrown into the flames and burned away. So verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Guys, a bunch of zeros with a number 1 means so much more than a bunch of zeros just lying on the floor. Bunch of branches. The branches can be the whole field, but it will mean nothing if it's not part of the vine. The vine is the one that gives the fruit to the branches. So this morning, maybe just to check yourself a little bit, to check your heart, are you bearing any fruit? Why not? Why are you bearing fruit? What fruit are you bearing? Is it fruit of the world or fruit of the Spirit? So let us make sure that we remain in him. And by remaining in him, we belong there. We were created to belong there. As a bunch of zeros, we were created as placeholders to be with the one so that we can have meaning, so that we can bear fruit. And need to give you guys some practical handles. I'm not going to teach on the practical handles because you know this. And that's why we have communities, so that we can bring these things through, is what to do to remain in Him. Read His Word. It's a good start. You pray. You worship Him, not just only on a Sunday morning. You know that you can worship Him from Monday to Saturday as well, right? In your house, without being able to play guitar. Right, there's a reason why I don't lead worship, but man, when I'm alone in the house or in the car, especially in the car, no one can hear me. Especially when no one can hear me. When other people in the car, I'd rather just worship my head. But we can worship Him. He doesn't care of the tone of your voice or your vocal cords or your whatever it's called. He doesn't care for the lyrics of your song. There was a moment here this morning with my daughter in my hands, and Thomas said that we're going to sing that verse or that chorus, and then he's just going to keep on playing and just in your own words sing to the Lord. And I realized, oh, this is an opportunity to teach my child to sing to the Lord. So I was singing. And I stopped and I was like, Ami wil jy vir Jesus 'n liedjie sing? And I interacted with my child. I'm allowed to. Just because we're worshiping doesn't mean we exclude our children all of a sudden. They are part of us. We need to set an example. We need to teach them the ways of the Lord. Make disciples and teach them. My child needs to become a disciple of the Lord. They're not born saved. So I need to teach her the ways of the Lord. And part of that is singing a song. And I started singing. I'm not going to repeat it now. In Afrikaans. You can sing in Afrikaans. You can sing in whatever your language is. That doesn't matter to the Lord. Your heart is what matters to Him. And then, part of that, what to do to remain in Him. God gave each one of us a gift. Your responsibility with that gift is to bring it to the body. Bring it to the church. And be willing to give it back by giving it to His church. So whatever your gift is, whatever your talents, your skills, if it's to be an electrician, if it's to be good at finances, whatever your skill is, your occupation many times gives you a good idea sometimes. Maybe you have another passion. Maybe arts and being creative is part of your passion and the skill. It's something God gave you. You were born with it because God gave it to you. Okay? Your mother and father didn't decide what you should and shouldn't have. You know that, right? Basic biology. So God gave it to you so that you can give it to His church, so that His kingdom will advance on earth. But before any of that, before any of that can be true in your heart, you need to make a decision. You need to make the decision that God is your Savior. And He is the one that gives you meaning and purpose. He is the one that takes your life. You lay it down at His feet. He doesn't come along and pick up your life. No. He waits for you. And to lay it down at His feet. So Romans 10, this is our last scripture for this morning. Verse 9 to 10. Oh man, we can't speak of Jesus and then not show people towards Him, eh? That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe with your heart that God has raised Him, you will be saved. And then we can go through this whole message again. But this is the most important part. That's why I'm ending with it. Because this is the take home. You need to make sure that you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that He is your Savior. Because if you do that, He will give you meaning. He will give you value. He will give you purpose. You will live in a way that you won't understand sometimes. You will see things in ways that you've never seen before. He is the one that saves us. Verse 10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and that you are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and that you are saved."